Welcome to the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Ron Jones. Our prayer is that God will use his word to change your life and fill your heart with hope. And now, here's Ron.
Well, good morning, everybody. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 12. Today, we're beginning a brand new series of messages called Inside Out, Living and Loving from a Healthy Soul. Now, before I read our text for today, I want to give you an overview of this five-week series. Week one is titled The Total Human Being. Actually, it's part one of a two-part message. It's going to take us 2 weeks to kind of lay out what I believe the Scripture teaches about the total human being. So part one and part two. And then week three, how Jesus cared for his soul. Week four, the emotionally healthy Jesus. And then in week five, we're going to go into the Psalms and talk about hope for the downcast soul. So that's just a little bit of overview of where we're going today. The total human being, part one. And that brings us to Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked Jesus, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" And Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.'" Now listen to this. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Recently, I returned from a two-month sabbatical. It was the first sabbatical I took in more than 30 years of ministry. And when the elders approved my sabbatical, it couldn't have come at a better time, because I was beginning to feel a little afraid around the edges of my inner being. Now, sabbatical is not a glorified or extended vacation for a pastor. Rather, it is a time to come away with God with an intended purpose, for the purpose of physical rest, of course, but also to replenish the soul. And I saw it as a time to recalibrate my ministry calling. A pastor goes on sabbatical, I suppose, for the same reason that an athlete, say, drinks a bottle of Gatorade to rehydrate, replenish, and refuel, I think the commercial says. Of course, the word sabbatical makes us think of the fourth commandment regarding the Sabbath day, which encourages us to rest for one day after 6 days of work. Sabbath rest and the idea of sabbatical is really rooted in the creation story. The fourth commandment adds the following commentary by saying in Exodus 20 and verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." I don't know if you've noticed, but Sabbath rest is mostly missing in our culture today. We are a fast-paced, 24/7, 365, a hurry-up, very frenetic kind of culture. And I found it was missing in my life and ministry too. And I needed an extended sabbatical to sort of recalibrate the rhythms of my life in a healthy way. Now, during my sabbatical, I also came back to the conversations I had with the Lord in my early 20s around my vocation and ministry. Back then, I was in the business world, in the corporate world, and kind of wrestling with that call to ministry. I was also serving as a volunteer in my church, teaching God's Word. And even as a volunteer, I always wanted my ministry to result from the overflow of my relationship with Jesus. And should I leave the business world and enter the world of vocational ministry, that was a thoughtful and prayerful time in my life that led me into vocational ministry. But my conversation with the Lord was always, I never want my calling to become a career. It was a calling that should flow from the inside out and should result from the overflow of my relationship with Jesus. Later, the words of Pastor John Piper, who wrote Two Pastors, resonated with me. Piper says to pastors, "Brothers, we are not professionals. We're pastors, we're shepherds." And sabbatical gave me an opportunity to revisit the idea that authentic ministry ministry of any kind, whether you were vocationally called to it or even a volunteer, not to mention life itself, our living and our loving. Well, all of this happens from the inside out. And that's what we want to talk about in this series. I am indebted to many authors and wonderful books that I had an opportunity to read and sometimes reread during my sabbatical. A new book that I read by Lance Witt was titled Replenish, Leading from a Healthy Soul. Lance writes to pastors and he says, godly leadership is always inside out. God always has and always will choose to smile on men and women who are healthy, holy, and humble. And when I read that in Lance Witt's book, those words landed in my soul like a precision-guided missile. And I realized once again how dangerous life and ministry can be. Most of us live our lives with an emphasis on the externals. Just look at the social media obsession in our world today. Everything about that is about the outer shell of our existence. A selfie never captures what's really happening on the inside of a person. And maybe you're listening to me today and you're wondering to yourself, you have this nagging feeling in yourself, why am I successful on the outside? But on the inside, I feel so empty. Lance Witt says, it's scary to realize that the path to external success and internal emptiness can be the same road. That is a scary thought. Now, I believe Jesus lived his life from the inside out, and he taught us to do the same. And I believe this is near what he had in mind when he replied to a question from a teacher of the law, a Pharisee, about the most important commandment. And that brings us again to Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28. I want to read all the way through the verse 34 so we get a broader sense of what's happening here. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, asked him, what commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, here it is, your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Well, to live life from the inside out begins with an understanding of our total humanity. Mind, body, heart, and soul. That's what Jesus told us to do, to love God with all of our mind, body, heart, and soul. In other words, we are more than mere physical beings living in a physical world. To love God and others well requires the healthy integration of each component part of our complex humanity. Write that down and let me say that again. To love God and others well requires the healthy integration of each component part of our complex humanity, mind, body, heart, and soul. Now, many years ago, the pop singer Madonna, I think, misunderstood her humanity when she said, we are living in a material world, and I am a material girl. That was a snappy tune, hit the top 40 charts and all that, but the truth is, Madonna, we are more than material girls and boys living in a material world. We're much more than that. And I'm not sure the lawyer in Mark chapter 12, in this conversation with Jesus, understood exactly what Jesus was talking about, maybe a smidgen more than even Madonna did, because Jesus mentioned the mind, the body, or what he called the strength, heart and soul. But when the lawyer affirmed Jesus' reply, he blurred some of the lines relating to our immaterial self by saying, with all your understanding. read it carefully. He didn't exactly quote Jesus. He just kind of summarized it by saying, with all your understanding. Now, Jesus said the lawyer answered wisely, but I wonder whether the lawyer had a clear understanding of what the Savior meant, even by the mind and the soul. And I don't want to be too hard on the lawyer, or even Madonna for that matter. I read words like heart, soul, and spirit in the Bible, and their meanings and their distinctions are a little bit fuzzy to me. The Bible says, for example, that God is spirit, that He is spirit. But did you know that God also refers to His own soul? Leviticus 26 and verse 11 uses a form of the Hebrew word nephesh, or soul, in relation to God, who says to the Hebrew people, listen to this, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. In Jeremiah 32 and verse 41, God makes a promise concerning Israel, saying, I will rejoice in doing them good, and I will plant them in this land in faithfulness with all my heart and all my soul. Does God have a soul? Well, because humans are created in the image of God and we have a soul, it makes sense that God also has a soul. However, the expressions found in the Bible about God's soul might be nothing more than what we call anthropomorphisms. That's the idea that when the Bible refers to God having other human qualities like a face or hands, it's just reaching for language that as humans we can understand. Of course, God did take the form of a human body in the person of Jesus Christ, which leads to some lofty conversations about what we call the incarnation in Christian theology, the idea that Jesus was fully God and completely human at the same time. God in the flesh, God with a body. Furthermore, the divine intellect is so impressive that the Apostle Paul remarks in his first letter to the Corinthians, who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? And so, yeah, we can go into the pages of Scripture and we discover mind, body, heart, and soul in the divine. Now, living our lives from the inside out begins with an understanding of what I'm calling our total humanity. And perhaps a diagram will help show the relationship between mind, body, heart, and soul. You have the diagram there in your notes and on the screen as well. This diagram represents my best understanding of the relationship between the component parts of our humanity. And you'll notice that the soul is largest. And that's where I want to begin, with the soul. What is the soul? I mean, we read it all over the pages of Scripture. Even God, in the pages of Scripture, refers to His soul. But what is the soul? Generally, the soul is the invisible, immaterial part of us that lives forever. Now, in the context of the creation story, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, this verse provides the first mention of the soul in the body. Listen to this. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. That from the King James Version. Other translations say living being. It's the Hebrew word nephesh, which is translated often soul or can be a living being. Now, God did not create a body and then place a soul in it, sort of like you put a letter in an envelope. Rather, out of the dust of the ground, He created Adam, and then He breathed divine life into that formed dust, making it a living being, a complete person, or a soul. And in that way, we might say we don't have a soul. We are souls. We're not physical and material beings that happen to have a spiritual side to us. No, we are first and primarily a soul. We are spiritual beings that happen to be living inside a material body. Now, before we travel deeper into the soul, let's at least acknowledge the many ways we use the word soul in our everyday language, and sometimes we use it in a proper way, and a lot of times, you know, we don't. Starting with the idea, have you ever heard this? Confession is good for the soul. And likewise, selling your soul to the devil is bad. Or I hear that everybody is looking for their romantic soulmate, or at least for a friend who is a kindred soul, someone that they can, with whom they can bear their soul. We love to eat soul food and listen to soul music. And years ago, there was a television program called Soul Train. And then even more so in church, we pray for lost souls. And some people are going through a time of deep, deep soul searching. So the word soul is common in our language today, but I'm not sure we have a deep and biblical understanding of it. I know before I went into my sabbatical, my understanding of mind, body, heart, and soul were a little bit fuzzy. Even as I read these words and in the pages of Scripture, I wanted a deeper understanding of that. And one of the places I went to help with that was to a book by Dallas Willard titled Renovation of the Heart, Putting on the Character of Christ. I read it years ago, and I came back to it. It's a pretty thick read, and it takes a while to get through it. But Dallas Willard describes the soul and its relationship to the mind, body, and heart in a way that kind of made sense to me. Listen to this. Willard says, "The soul is that aspect of your whole being that correlates, integrates, and enlivens everything going on in the various dimensions of the self. It regulates whatever is occurring in each of those dimensions and how they interact with each other and respond to surrounding events in the overall governance of your life." He says the soul is deep in the sense of being basic or foundational, and also in the sense that it lies totally beyond our conscious awareness. That's a lot to think about. Willard takes us into the deep, deep end of thought. But our total humanity is something deep to think about. We are complex beings. We are not simply material girls and boys living in a material world. There's much more to us. And when we get in a few weeks talking about how we live and love from a healthy soul, how we care for our soul, how we maintain a sense of wellness in our inner being, we've got to have an understanding of the total human being as God created us in His image and what all that looks like. When I read Willard's description of the soul during my sabbatical, I immediately thought about the operating system on my laptop computer. Now, a computer has many programs and applications on its hard drive, but the operating system is the most important software that runs on the computer. The operating system manages the computer's memory and processes, as well as all its software and hardware. Most of the time, multiple things are happening on our computer simultaneously. Multiple programs and applications, and they each need access to the computer's central processing unit and the memory and the storage. And it's the operating system in our computer that makes each application get what it needs. And what I'm saying simply is, my understanding of the soul from Willard and others is that the soul is kind of like that operating system on your computer laptop. It is the operating system for the human being, integrating the simultaneous activity of our mind, our body, and our heart. And we'll get to the heart next week, but just understand that the heart is the command center. If the soul is the operating system, the heart then is the command center directing our will and our spirit and emotions. Now we got even more complex about the total human being. And what's amazing and mysterious all at the same time is the interconnectedness of it all. Think of the human skeleton, where we say the knee bone is connected to the hip bone by way of the thigh bone, you know, and it's all connected to one another. In the same way, the integration of the various parts of the inner self cannot be overestimated, making our humanity more complex than we ever imagined, and making the maintaining of the wellness of our inner being an even greater challenge for us. And so now you're beginning to understand why it's so easy to get to that point where on the external side of your being, you feel all successful. You look all spit-shined and great to everybody, but on the inside, you say, I feel empty. I'm falling apart. I'm fraying around the edges. And sometimes if you don't care for it soon enough, it leads to a train wreck in your life. Now, the health of each part of our humanity, mind, body, heart, and soul, contributes to our overall wellness. But it all starts with the soul. We'll get to mind, body, and heart next time. But it starts with the soul. And here's the first thing you need to understand from the Bible's perspective. Your soul is the most valuable thing you possess. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, Jesus asked rhetorically, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? The obvious answer to that rhetorical question is nothing. There is nothing in this world more valuable than a single soul. There's nothing in your world that is more valuable than your soul. And caring for your soul that integrates every other aspect of your human being, your mind, your body, your heart. Caring for your soul, nothing could be more important than that. Now, one proof of the soul's priceless value is that Jesus Christ died on a cross to save your soul. To save your soul and mine that was in a precarious state of being, that was at risk of being forfeited and lost forever in eternity. Your soul and mine, the operating system of our human self, requires salvation. That's what Peter had in mind when in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Peter writes, though you have not seen him, that is Jesus, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Now listen to this, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Yeah, the outcome of our faith, the purpose of placing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is that he would save our soul. Because from the Bible's point of view, our soul, and we are souls. We don't just possess them. We are souls. The most valuable thing we possess, the most valuable thing in the world is a single human soul, but it's in a precarious place. It's in a dangerous place. It requires salvation. It requires redemption. And the goal or the outcome of our faith in Jesus Christ is primarily the salvation of our souls. Let me ask you a question. Is your soul saved? Are you even aware that your soul will be required of you one day? Jesus once told a parable about a rich man who had overflowing barns. And the man made a decision. Rather than giving some of it away generously, he says, I'm going to tear down my barns, build bigger barns, and eat, drink, and be merry. And what he didn't know was that his soul would be required of him that night. He would die and have to give an account before his Creator, who made him into a soul, give an account for what he did with his life and with his faith. I want to encourage you right now, if you haven't already done so, to ask Jesus to save your soul. For you to ever get to that point, friend, you've got to get to an understanding that your soul is in a dangerous place. And it needs redemption. It needs saving. You say, save from what? Well, ask Jesus to save your soul from eternal damnation, from the penalty of your sin. This is what Jesus came to do. He sacrificed his body on the cross to save souls and to save your soul. And because the soul is the operating system of our humanity, nothing could be more important than having a redeemed soul. Think about your laptop computer. You have all these programs and applications working on it, and presumably they're in good working order, but the operating system is corrupted. If the operating system on your computer is corrupted, nothing else really works all that well. It is something that operates on a computer kind of behind the scenes. You really don't see it. You don't have conscious awareness of it. But if that operating system is not right, then there isn't a program or an application on your computer that works well. And when we get to that point where we say, you know, I've got all this external success, but something's not right. Mind, body, heart, all the component parts, something's not working well. It might be because your soul is still corrupted by sin, and you need to ask Jesus to save your soul. Mind, body, and heart, and all the component parts of our humanity function best when integrated by a saved or a redeemed soul. That's another way of saying it. One day you will die and your soul will be required of you, meaning your soul, the real, immaterial, and eternal you, will give an account before the God who made you into an eternal soul. So I say, start by making sure your soul is saved today by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do that today, because today is the day of salvation. And once you do that, then we can start talking about caring for our souls. Caring for our souls in a way that we live and we love from the inside out and from a healthy soul. I think when that lawyer asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered, oh, it's to love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. No, he answered it with an understanding of the totality of our humanity. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when all of the component parts of our humanity are saved, redeemed, well cared for, and operating well, you know what happens? We love God and we love our neighbor better. Inside out living means that we are living and loving from a healthy soul. And that's my prayer for all of us here during this series. And it's been my prayer during my sabbatical. Not that my soul was in danger of being forfeited. No, I had placed my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saved my soul. Hallelujah to Jesus. But caring for that soul and making sure that we're healthy is another thing. And living from the inside out. Oh, I just want to make sure that I love God and love people well. And that it is well with my soul, as the old hymn says. It is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul today? Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for creating us in your image. Mind, body, heart, and soul. And I want to thank you for that. It's just the thought of it and the complexity of it makes me want to worship you even more, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. My mind, my body, my heart, my soul, how it integrates together, and how Jesus, who saved me and redeemed my soul, helps me love you and live well and love other people well. So, Father, I pray to that end for every one of us here today. I pray for lost souls to be saved today by placing their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and was buried and rose again from the dead. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Ron Jones. For a complete list of resources available from Ron's ministry, visit somethinggoodradio.org.